ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
In a tiny Victorian town, the football club isn't just a weekend ritual.
It's country footy, you get there really early, you leave late.
But then, one day, something happens.
In the back of a caravan, just over the road from this footy club.
Once I realised what was going to happen, it was not good.
And suddenly, everyone must pick a side.
I just felt angry. Those folks were meant to be my mates.
Hometown Boys, a new series by Background Briefing. Listen now on the ABC Listen app.
Today, the Australian people have voted for Australian values.
Government is always formed in the sensible centre, but our Liberal Party reflects a range of views.
Politics is the brutal game of arithmetic, but no one's going to vote for you if you don't stand for something.
We've always been about the planet, but we've got to make sure that people have their daily needs met.
People are starting to see that there is actually a different way of doing politics.
Hello and welcome to The Party Room. I'm Patricia Carvalis and I'm joining you from Wurundjeri country in Melbourne.
And I'm Fran Kelly on the Gadigal land of the Eora Nation here in Sydney. And PK, it's good to be back because not only do I miss hanging out with you on the podcast, but there's so much going on.
Oh, Fran, you know how much I miss you, but we have been pumping out episodes, as you know, Fran. I know because you've been listening to them. Really, dealing with what has been a very early start to the political year, it has not been a quiet news cycle. Like, our summers have been punctuated by what has been distressing news, but with huge political ramifications, as we're going to talk about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we are recording this, as we people know, who are our fans, Thursday morning, and it is the National Day of Mourning for the 15 victims of the Bondi terror attack, the biggest terror event in our country, on our country's soil. And we are at the same time about to discuss the divorce of the Nationals and the Liberals on the same day this happened. Yeah. That blows my brain.
It's true. I mean, what a juxtaposition. And, you know, we've had Labor frontbenchers out and about today, every one of them saying, you know, this was supposed to be a day of national unity. Instead, the coalition's talking about themselves and they're talking about disunity and division because, PK, it's very clear now. The National Party leader, David Littleproud, came out of the box early this morning and declared it's done. He said Susan Lee had left him and his colleagues in an untenable position, signalling very strongly the Nats are no longer in coalition with the Liberal Party.
Our party room has made it very clear we cannot be part of a shadow ministry under Susan Lee. Well, we will sit by ourselves. We will sit and we will undertake what we have done. And I think we've got a pretty good record.
PK, we've seen this movie before. We were not expecting it. A rerun this week of all weeks, this week of what was meant to be bringing the nation together.
Look, the opposition should have been in the box seat this week, Fran, but instead the Prime Minister emerged with his laws passed and now the coalition is the yarn yet again. It comes as One Nation again surged in the polls, and I think that is the biggest backdrop to what we're seeing in terms of the Nationals' behaviour, which looks so erratic, so unusual. That is what spooked them and what's leading to this. On what is the National Day of Mourning for Bondi, I think it is the most extraordinary thing I've seen. So we have the most excellent guest to help us dig into it. Someone with such a sense of political nous, but also political history, Michelle Grattan, Chief Political Correspondent for The Conversation and Professorial Fellow at the University of Canberra. Welcome to the Party Room.
Hi there to you both.
Hey, Michelle. Yes, you are the perfect guest for a day like today. As we've said, it was meant to be a unifying moment for the nation, a day of mourning for the victims of the Bondi massacre. Instead, the coalition's making all the headlines with disunity and chaos.
I think it's very disappointing that the coalition have chosen today to engage in this sort of nonsense and diversion. Today is a day of mourning, and our parliament should be focused on laws to keep us safe and bring us together. Our parliamentarians should be focused on what's good for the nation, and instead they're focused on themselves.
Last night, David Littleproud, the National Party leader, announced that all National Party frontbenchers would quit Susan Lee's ministry, and this morning he went much, much further.
And if these three senators could not be accepted, then our coalition has become untenable. This process wasn't all Susan Lee's fault. Anthony Albanese put her in this process, but it has been mismanaged by Susan Lee. And there was a out yesterday to not accept these three resignations. She was aware of the consequences if she did, that the National Party were being forced into an untenable position around the coalition, and she still made that decision. This is not what we wanted.
Michelle, David Littleproud reckon he isn't completely shutting the door on the coalition, but what he is very clearly saying is he can't, or is that won't, work with Susan Lee. That's what's happening here, isn't he? He's blown up the coalition, hasn't he?
Well, absolutely. The coalition is no more at this point. Whether at some point they get together again or not, of course, remains to be seen. We saw what happened last year when there was a brief break, but this is a much more serious break, I think, and the consequences of it at the moment are unclear, but it does look prospectively like also probably blowing up Susan Lee's leadership, although I think that most Liberals would think that she didn't have much choice but to stare down the Nationals, who broke shadow cabinet solidarity. Now, on that point of the break, David Littleproud, of course, says that a final decision on that hate legislation, which the Nationals voted against, hadn't been made by the front bench as a whole, hadn't been made by the joint parties, and therefore the solidarity argument doesn't apply. Yeah. Susan Lee says essentially it had been made and that the Nationals should have fallen into line.
Okay, so that is all right. The Nationals, as I understand it from speaking to now many, many Liberals, senior Liberals, believe that the Nationals are, and I just want to put this to you, Michelle, blowing up Susan Lee's leadership. That it's not just about principle, that it's not just about One Nation. They are now actively, they are acting as agents to blow up her leadership. Do you see it that way?
Look, I think that's right. And I think that remarks in the a press conference and afterwards that David Littleproud has made do suggest that, although, of course, he won't acknowledge that.
Well, but he got pretty close to it, Michelle. You know, let's be honest.
Well, I had a great relationship with Peter Dutton. He was a man of great integrity, and we had a great coalition. So there's one common denominator here, and
the Liberals must change leaders. I agree with you that by saying he can't work with Susan Lee, that does get close to saying get a new leader, but he didn't actually jump that hurdle. At the moment, what he's saying is we're two parties, we're going forward as two armies. He did say significantly for the time being. But clearly the Nationals would prefer another Liberal leader, but that, of course, poses its own problems because the Liberals' contenders for leadership, Angus Taylor and Andrew Hastie, have their own issues, their own problems. So where this goes in terms of the Liberal leadership is as yet quite unclear.
Yeah, I think it is unclear, but let's park that and get to it because
I'm desperate to find out who you think the Nats do
I've
want.
Got a hot take on this one.
Okay.
Regardless of who the Nats want, very senior Liberals now tell me Susan Lee's leadership is now untenable. The idea that she would get to Easter is a finished idea. I can say this absolutely with certainty, that they believe that her leadership is now impossible to maintain because the breaking of the coalition, even if they do hold the Nationals responsible, because they do, even the Conservatives think that the Nationals are responsible for the breakdown in this relationship. Not that she's necessarily done the best job, but that they are ultimately the most responsible. They still can't see a pathway forward where she remains leader, right? That's how they see it. And so I think it is now inevitable that the Liberals will have their own leadership contest. That doesn't mean it will necessarily get them back together with the Nationals, though, because the impasse with the Nationals is a deeper problem, I think, Michelle.
Well, that is true, but the outcome of a leadership contest and exactly how it unfolds is, at this point, I think really unclear territory.
I thought it was interesting that, as I understand it anyway, maybe you guys can confirm it, that both Senator Jacinta Nabijimba-Price and Senator Michaela Cash both weren't in the Senate room, didn't make it into the Senate chamber for the vote. I thought that was interesting. They didn't vote for their party.
Well, I think these are perhaps two separate cases. It's not clear to me why Cash wasn't there, no. But she did speak strongly backing the Liberal position. As for Senator Price, she put out a very strange explanation, essentially, the dog ate my homework.
She said she didn't get the message. There was a technical problem. She didn't get the message that the vote was on, but she did say she would have voted against it.
Well, nevertheless, I mean, she could have been there present. The bill was being debated. Everyone knew when the votes were being taken. It was guillotined. The votes were after 10 o'clock. Mm. So I think her excuse is, frankly, poor.
And that noise and... That noise in the background,
yes, means seems to be
someone's going to be voting again.
Some sort of alarm here.
Oh, it's the alarm. I thought it was the bells.
In Parliament House, well, doesn't that speak volumes, Michelle?
Well, unfortunately, that alarm in Parliament House just wouldn't stop ringing. And so we've had to leave Michelle there because she, who knows, may be evacuated any second. But anyway, but PK, let me throw the point to you, really, that I was wondering what you think about this. Did Susan Lee have any choice? Couldn't she have just let these three Nationals stay in the knowledge that if she didn't, this would blow up and this would make what could have been a sort of a positive week for the coalition, you know, given the pressure that the Prime Minister had been under, into such a shocking negative headline feast for Susan Lee and her leadership?
Well, Fran, it's like this. She was in a lose-lose situation. The idea that she would not accept their resignations, which is clearly what David Littleproud suggested, right? If anyone heard Wednesday's podcast with David Spears, he suggested she may not accept their resignations.
Now, she think she would. I did not think she would.
I wasn't sure, and I'm glad I wasn't sure because, look, she has, right? So what she's done here is made the call that they did come to a decision. I understand the argument that they didn't then now have another shadow cabinet, right? Okay, that's true.
Or a joint party meeting.
Yeah, they had come to a position and that the Nationals were obligated to go with the deal that was made in those parameters. Why did she make this call? Well, my view is the idea that if she didn't accept their resignations, she'd be somehow safe as houses as leader is baloney. She was stuffed either way. We have to start being realists here. These people are gunning for her regardless. So she's made the call, which I think may not end in her being leader. I think she probably won't be leader for much longer, but she's made the call that on this issue of the Bondi terror attack and the principles around it, i.e. that we need stronger laws to deal with rhetoric, which is inflammatory, which is anti-Semitic, right? On that issue, she needed to stand for something. So she's kind of tried on this one. She didn't on climate change, you'll recall, but on this one, because of the principle of how hard she went in on Bondi. Do you remember that speech, Julian Lisa, who is the most senior Jewish person in the Liberal front bench? He said, you know, we have made a decision today, the Liberals, to stand with the Jewish community. That's what she's done. And in not accepting their resignations, she's kind of tried to take a stand. If she had taken it, you wouldn't have this split with the Nationals, but you have still the same chaos. Three Nationals gone, a lot of chaos. It still wouldn't have shored up her own leadership. Now, I want to read you a quote from a statement that's just been released and throw this back to you from David Littleproud, a man we'll be talking about for a while for an action today on the National Day of Mourning, which I think is extraordinary. So extraordinary that even the Senate leader for the Nationals, Bridget McKenzie, has said, has conceded, by the way, in an interview with Raf Epstein just recently, that it is pretty unfortunate. She says that the timing is appalling, but claims the Nationals couldn't do anything about it, right? So a concession of sorts that the timing is pretty bad, right? Like, I think at least, yeah, I was like, all right, Bridget McKenzie, fair enough, you've noticed, it's really bad.
It's pretty bad, all right.
Now, here we have a statement now officially put out by the Nationals leader. I will read you this sentence. Susan Lee has put protecting her own leadership ahead of maintaining the coalition. Hooly dooly, he put that in writing.
Hooly dooly.
Now, that is to blow up her leadership. We have the Nationals trying to actively blow up her leadership, i.e., hint, hint, nudge, nudge, it's in the statement. If the Liberals had another leader, maybe we would be maybe thinking about a marriage again. I'll divorce you because that's your leader, but I might not divorce you in the future if you have another one.
Yeah, that's pretty vicious and certainly part of a pile-on. But I'm wondering what it's all about within the National Party room too, because what about David Littleproud's leadership? I mean, he's the guy who can't get the deals done with the Liberals that his party room is demanding. You know, he's the guy that's overseen two coalition splits now. Is this all about, is this all underpinned by two weakened leaders fighting for authority within their own party rooms, fighting for their own leadership first, rather than fighting for the best interests of the nation? In this case, as the government keeps hammering the nation's security.
Look, Fran, I've just got, I'm sorry, I'm like, people know this about me. I am kind of working the phones, trying to work out where everyone's positioning on this. And I'm like speaking to a lot of people confidentially. I've spoken to a very senior Liberal who's just sent this message to me. Senior Liberal, you know, really in the know of how this is all going to go. He says, white hot anger at the Nats. They have lied about the process. Littleproud has misled his party room about where things were at with the Liberals, and multiple senior Nats knew that. There is a big annoyance, even from conservatives, that's key, at the Nats saying they can't stay in the coalition under Susan Lee. Was it the process or is it Lee, they ask, right? And these are people who are not like necessarily Lee fans. So I want to be clear, right? It's more about you can't tell our party how to operate. This is the Liberals standing up. She's actually, you know, I still think her leadership is ultimately untenable. That's my view. But they're not, you know, between David Littleproud and her, he's in more trouble.
Well, is he? Is he in more trouble in his party room? That's what I'm wondering. But I think it's clear that both these leaders are in a continual struggle, it seems to me, for authority within their party rooms. And that's perhaps what's created this sort of soap opera today of division when, as you say, the rest of the nation is, you know, thinking about the Bondi massacre and a day of mourning. Susan Lee has said she won't speak about any of the party room machinations today. She's only going to speak about the National Day of Mourning, and she has reportedly asked David Littleproud to observe that too. He clearly
has. Which, can I say,
done that.
Is extraordinary. So they've made sure they've leaked that out, that we know.
Yeah.
That they've asked, let's...
There's a lot of leaking going on, PK.
Oh, of course, they're all at war, right? Can you believe, though, that she said to David Littleproud, let's not be political today, and that he held a press conference? I cannot believe that happened.
I can't believe that for a number of reasons, not only because of the sort of political strategic misstep that clearly is, but also on the grounds of just decorum, really, and human compassion. But I think, PK, there's another element to all this that we haven't even mentioned yet, which is, you know, as you say, this is extraordinary. This behaviour is unbelievable that it's come to this in this week. But something happened at the beginning of this week, and I wonder what you think, how that's played into it. And that is the polling, the news poll in particular, that came out at the start of the week, which showed that not only is One Nation gaining in support, we've talked about that before, all the polls are showing that, but News Poll had One Nation's primary vote ahead of the coalition's primary vote, which was at a record low. So it's, you know, just one poll for sure, but how much has that influenced the National Party's strong line here they've taken to blow up the coalition? And how much does that suggest that perhaps this was an intentional strategy by these senators to put Susan Lee in this position where she couldn't do anything but sack them, so that the coalition did dissolve because the Nats feel they're better off in trying to attract that further right voter bloc that is swinging to One Nation?
It's all about that, Fran. It's all about the fact that One Nation is absolutely cannibalising their vote, and everything they're doing is in the prism of positioning around that threat. It really is. Now, that's not to say, because I like to be thought of, and I really believe in my heart, I'm fair. People like Matt Canavan are true, deep free speechers. So I don't think he's only motivated by One Nation coming to get them. I think he actually believes in some of these principles, just like the Greens stood up on some of these principles. David Pocock on, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, sure.
Not everyone who wants to oppose some of this stuff is, you know, motivated only by politics. Some, you know, there are principles about, you know, I've declared on this pod, I'm very sympathetic to free speech arguments. I think once you start messing with free speech, it's a slippery slope, right? Like, I really do.
Yeah, but the biggest free speech impact that was built into the original law has been dropped. That's been dropped. The racial vilification, anti-hate speech laws. So that's gone. So, you know, how much of it really was about free speech?
Well, I think some of it was column A, column B, right? Some of it was, but a lot of it is clearly about blowing up the Liberal leadership, also about David Littleproud. And, like, again, I'm getting more and more messages because I'm working on another story at the moment about the right wing of politics. So I'm getting a lot of kind of traffic because I'm in this at the moment. It's like the story I've been focused on over the summer. And I've got this text message from a senior Liberal who I can tell you, like, these people actually are decision makers, right? They're not just sort of nobodies, saying, I don't think we could re-enter a coalition with David Littleproud as the leader. I don't think her leadership is tenable, but they're saying both leaderships aren't tenable now.
Yeah.
Because just say Angus Taylor becomes the leader or
Andrew Hastie might be more to the taste of the National Party.
What the Liberals are telling me, conservative and moderate, is that David Littleproud cannot be the leader of the Nationals they do a deal with because they see him as acting in bad faith. They have accused him of lying. So this is a bigger blow up, and some of it is based on personality too, not just principles and ideas.
This division, this split in the coalition, this sort of bomb exploding within the coalition has really taken all the headlines and all the focus. The Prime Minister, though, very much determined to keep the, if he can, to not get in the middle of this fight, though some of his foot soldiers were happy to have a go. But he's, you know, stood up and given a press conference only about the National Day of Mourning.
Today is an opportunity for us to remember and pay respect to the 15 lives. It's an opportunity for us as a nation to wrap our arms around the Jewish community. Because people were targeted.
You know, Labor's been under pressure too, PK. In the polls, the same polls that showed One Nation putting the pressure on the coalition also show a collapse in the vote for Labor. You know, the PM has really had his back to the wall after his response to the Bondi attacks, which attracted a lot of criticism. Now he's got these laws through. He's going to try and bank that. He's going to try and focus on the Jewish community today and try and sort of project a leader of the nation who's in control of the security of the nation, that's his priority, while the other side are all fighting amongst themselves. So he's going to want to get onto safer ground because he needs to do something to reboot his personnel, his popularity and his authority, I think. So the question is, how does he do that? You know, what's he going to do to try and get himself back in the game? This happened to him a year ago. He had a terrible summer. He was in the real doldrums after the Voice referendum, and then he brought itself back and had that huge election win and had the year of his life, really, last year until the Bondi massacre on the December the 14th. So what does he need to do? The Treasurer's already been out and about saying the government's now going to focus on the economy, the cost of living, housing and national security. You know, What do you think the government and Anthony Albanese has now got out of the hole that he really dug for himself post-Bondi?
Look, Fran, I think today, National Day of Mourning, we saw the Prime Minister stand up in the courtyard, deliver what I thought were really powerful words about today and the experience of the Jewish community, with taking no questions, not sticking the boot into the coalition, even though I'm sure he was inside his own heart tempted, right? And that juxtaposed with the coalition falling apart. That speaks volumes. But Fran, yes, what does he have to do to get himself in the game? Well, I reckon he's on the road there. Doesn't mean it'll recover his polling immediately. It doesn't work like that. But there he was, standing in the courtyard, speaking powerful words. And at the same time, we've got the Nationals blowing up the coalition, fighting about Susan Lee. I reckon that's a good start, don't you?
Well, I think the optics are all his way. He's got his laws through. There's a lot of people, I think, who would... Not everyone likes these laws by any stretch at all. A lot of people don't like them. A lot of people on the left and the right don't like them. But I think a lot of Australians will see a government, a prime minister who is governing, who has managed finally to corral and get this response through. You know, the Jewish community and many others believing there needed to be some response in terms of safety and security of the Australian Jewish community after Bondi. There's much more to do on this front, and there's the clamour against the racial vilification laws, you know, suggests that there is more to do on that front, and there will be pressure on the government despite its insistence it won't do this. But yes, I think he stands there in the courtyard, as you say, on this day, National Day of Mourning, as the Prime Minister, as a Prime Minister who looks as though he's speaking, as I said, to the nation, while Susan Lee is mired in this complete chaos and division in her own side.
Having said that, she's made the call today not to respond to any of this. It is her best call. It is a smart call, right? Really smart call to say, nah, I'm not doing this. Because at least, and I think her leadership is pretty much really, and senior Liberals are saying to me, it's over. But their point is, that doesn't mean the other guys get off scot-free. You know, like, it all has to change. So I think this impasse means that her leadership is over and Little Proud's leadership is over, and the PM gets the best opportunity for a political recovery that I've seen. And I think we'll be writing and commenting about this for a long time, Fran, because the political ineptitude of allowing a man who was struggling for the first time since his landslide win, for allowing yourself to become the story, is so bad. I have not seen any ineptitude like that for a very long time. Have you?
No, I haven't. And it'll be interesting to see, once this National Day of Mourning is over and the formalities of this day is over, how this then unleashes again and what's happening. But, you know, that's for next week, PK.
It sure does. Well, that's it for the Party Room this week. But there is another opportunity to see the Party Room live coming up soon, Fran.
There is indeed, at Mardi Gras Fair Day in Sydney. Again, as we are most years, Sunday the 15th of February. It's all free, of course. You just got to turn up. We'll be taking the stage at 1 o'clock and discuss a wrap of the week, but really the year so far. And, you know, as we've just been talking about it, there's a lot that's happened this year, a lot of very momentous stuff that's happening, and much more to come, and not just domestically, but also on the national, on the international stage too, which concerns Australia. So there'll be a lot to talk about there.
There sure will.
Mark your calendars, folks.
Now, we'll actually be back in the feed tomorrow with a special bonus edition of Politics Now, so that's perfect for your Friday or your weekend listening. I will see you next week. See you, Fran.
See you, PK.